The following portion of the Generations broadcast is private for our subscribers only.
Yeah, right. Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson broadcasting from the Eastern Plains of Colorado from our basement. I am a father of five. So is Dave, by the way, in studio with me right now. Just a couple of dads trying to hang on to some semblance of faith, family, and freedom in the 21st century and having a hard time at it. Friends, the size of government has multiplied many, many times since 1900. We're looking at the size of government being roughly 6 to 7 times what it was 100 years ago. And of course, the family far, far, far weaker than ever before. Our freedoms have been undermined, the family is disintegrating, and we are looking at the faith barely hanging on by its fingertips, at least in the West. Now, granted, God is still alive. God is sovereign over all these things. And Jesus Christ is on the throne. And his kingdom continues everywhere. And he will continue to see his kingdom grow despite the abridgment of freedoms all over the world. I'll tell you what, it's growing in places like Africa, China, Korea, etc., etc. We're seeing the kingdom of God continue despite the fact that the empires of men continue to grow. And grow they do. Dave, just a week or two ago, my son was out there trying to get some vaccinations for his upcoming trip to the Amazon. By the way, he's in the Amazon right now. Hopefully he didn't need the shots, but he was getting some shots, called us up. Dad, I need the records of my previous vaccinations. Where can I get it? I was about to explain to him where to find those vaccination reports, and he said, no, never mind. They've got it online.
How can that be? I thought HIPAA, the Health Information Protection and Privacy Act, meant that your records were safe and secure and were never going to be electronically transmitted.
Don't need the vaccinations, Dad. Don't need the steel box down there in the safe. They've got it, Dad. It's online. My son's vaccination records from 18 years ago. Available online. Dave, there was a readjustment of all the electrodes in my mind at that point. We're living in a different world than we were 18 years ago, by a long shot.
18 years ago, Kevin, you represented a potential income source to the federal government. Now you represent a potential income source to thousands of manufacturers, businesses. You're an information source to the government. There is more information on you today than there ever was in your whole life.
It is incredible what some people have access to, either on the internet or other sources. Here's an article called "Technological Advances Are Infringing on Our Right to Privacy." High-tech first world countries are being tracked, traced, and databased. Literally around every corner, governments aided by private companies are gathering a mountain of information on average citizens who so far seem willing to trade liberty for supposed security. Here are just some of the ways the matrix of data is being collected. They talk about GPS, global positioning chips, now appearing everything from U.S. passports, cell phones, to cars. Can you believe that, Dave? Passports have GPS tracking on them.
I didn't know about that. I know that they can track you by your phone. And
I heard they can track you by credit cards. They're little tracker devices they can put on credit cards now.
The RFID chip.
They're tracking you everywhere. Incredible. Internet browsers are recording your every move, forming detailed cookies on your activities. And they ain't chocolate chip either. The NSA has been exposed as having cookies on their site that don't expire until, get this, 2035. Major search engines know where you surfed last summer, and online purchases are databased, supposedly for advertising, customer service uses. IP addresses are collected, even made public. Controversial websites can be flagged internally by government sites, as well as rerouting all traffic to block sites the government wants to censor. On and on and on. Apple's iPhone now has all sorts of data being recorded and stored. Dave, these iPhones are taking pictures. The pictures themselves are stored somewhere. I mean, nothing is private of what's being communicated or received on those iPhones.
Kevin, according to the Wall Street Journal, published December 17th of 2010, so very recent, it's not just capturing and storing data. These iPhone apps, the majority of them, are transmitting what we would consider personal data, including your location, your name, your friends, all kinds of stuff, even your passwords.
And forget the little teeny bop and 13-year-old girl that does a little nudie shot on her little iPhone and passes it on to somebody else. That's going to be accessible for 300,000 people by the year 2035. Friends, whatever's happening electronically is going to be communicated everywhere. Just understand that whatever you say on your cell phone will be shouted from the housetops. That's a Bible verse somewhere, isn't it?
Something like that.
It's about the iPhone and shouting from the housetops. I think it shows up in Jesus writing somewhere.
You know, right now, if you take a picture with your cell phone and you send it, the odds are very good, if it's one of the new phones, that it'll be called geocached. That is, the exact location where the camera was and the time are going to be stamped on digitally on that photo. So that if you post that on, I don't know, your Facebook account, some pedophile might know where your daughter took that picture, where she's likely to be. All that kind of information now is, well, available to anyone who has the wherewithal to get it.
All right, so the article talks about GPS, internet. We have RFID as well. Forget your credit cards, which are meticulously tracked, or the membership cards for things so insignificant as movie rentals, which require your social security number. Everyone has Costco, CVS, grocery chain cards, wallet, purse, full of many more. RFID, proximity cards take tracking to a new level in uses ranging from loyalty cards, student ID, physical access, computer network access. They throw in traffic cameras. They have traffic cameras just about all over the place. Now, I see them in almost all the major cities and intersections. License plate recognition has been used to remotely automate duties of the traffic police in the United States.
Well, automate?
Just about all the other Western nations.
Automate? It's used to collect revenue.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have a chance to interview the camera. You can't go to trial and cross-examine the camera. What these cameras are used, at least the traffic cameras, are used for revenue. Make no mistake about it. The cities have bought this unconstitutional idea that you can't face your accuser to raise revenue. A company says, hey, I got a great idea. I'll send you pictures of license plates. These people will send you money. It's a great deal. Hire me. And they did. Look, it's not just traffic cameras. There's surveillance cameras all over. Kevin, Great Britain, England, has over 4 million surveillance cameras.
Yeah.
Four million. That's
England.
They're
catching your front side, your back side, as you're walking out of that store.
You're
the front
side, and
back, and inside and outside. Traffic cameras, we talked about that. Computer cameras, microphones, Dave. The fact that laptops contributed by taxpayers spied on public school children at home was outrageous. Of course, we read that story, I think, last year. Years ago, Google began officially to use computer audio fingerprinting for advertising uses. They've admitted to working with the NSA, the premier surveillance network in the world. Public sound surveillance. This is a new form of technology. It's come a long way. They're able to hear whispers for dangerous keywords. This technology has been launched in Europe to monitor conversations to detect verbal aggression in public places.
Patriarchy.
Here we go. Somebody just said patriarchy. Who said patriarchy? Oh, somebody get a gun. Somebody go get this guy. All right, never mind. Biometrics is another one. The most popular biometric authentication scheme employed for the last few years has been iris recognition. Okay, that's ATMs, et cetera, use biometrics. Now DNA? DNA is another form. They've been tracking babies and human beings for a long time, Dave. Blood from babies taken for all people under the age of 38. Under the age of 38, accessible everywhere. In England, DNA was sent to secret databases from routine heel prick tests. I mean, maybe they pricked my heel, I didn't even know it. But they've got the DNA there. Microchips also, and facial recognition. These are all forms of, I'd say, violation of privacy or opportunity to violate privacy in the modern age of technology. It says here, all this leads to predictive behavior technology. That's the next level, friends. They know where you've been. Now they're going to guess where you're going. It's been marketed for such uses as blocking hackers. Things seem to have advanced to a point where a truly scientific Orwellian world is at hand. It is estimated that computers know to 93% accuracy where you will be before you make your first move. Nanotech is slated to play a big role in going even further, as scientists are using nanoparticles to directly influence behavior and decision making. Okay, so that's what technology is doing. Our brains are more or less in jars, and we are being manipulated, and we've been manipulated by television, advertising, other things for a long, long time. Of course, government schooling, and et cetera, since our worldview. But I think, Dave, we're going to see more manipulation through electronics in the years to come. Certainly, they know where we've been. Let's say you've got somebody out there named Jack White. Okay, let me give you just an example of what those that are out there and are privy to the information have access to when it comes to some guy named Jack White. On Facebook, Jack likes. Jack likes a lot of things on Facebook. Jack likes the Ten Commandments, Arkansas Right to Life, Roy Moore, Stephen Curtis Chapman. Satellite imaging has Jack attending Roseland Community Church every other Sunday at 10:45 a.m. In the last 2 weeks, he shopped at Christian Family Books, Safeway, Walmart, Bed Bath & Beyond, Natural Herbs and Remedies online purchasing, Homeschool Curriculum Warehouse, Guns R Us. Must be a right-wing wacko patriot type here. Looks like Jack donated $500 to the Constitution Party in 2008. None of his kids have inoculations. What do you know? Searching his email, looks like he didn't vote for Barack Obama. He's friends with 300 people, 250 of whom profess to be Christians. He's opposed Amendment 44 in Colorado and all tax increases since the 2002 elections. Oh, and here are 4,720 pictures he took on his iPhone. Well, looks like he also had a moral slip in 2003, a couple of porn sites. Checked out four hunting books from the library last Saturday. There's a lot of things we know about Jack White. My guess, Dave, is that if somebody out there who had the savvy and had the power, the authority to do so, had access to my records, my guess is they'd have probably close to 5,000 pages. No, make that 500,000 pages, because I still got 80,000 messages on my Google Gmail system right now. So that right there, you've got, what, 150,000 pages. My guess is they'd have access to roughly 500,000 pages of Kevin Swanson's life.
And what they would know about Kevin Swanson is that he often drives right by the Dunkin' Donuts and never stops. They would know that he likes to eat salad at restaurants,
yeah, right,
and not pizza. They know lots of things about it, because if you ate pizza, they might have to send the health and the fat police after.
Three Starbucks in the last 2 months. He's been out for donuts 6 times. What else?
Well, they know your eating habits. They know what toilet paper you prefer. They would know what size clothes you wear. They would know all kinds of things about you. They probably know your medical records. You know what, Kevin? It gets worse, because right in front of me, I have a story from Slate Magazine Online, and they're talking now about scientists in Germany who are actually able to do brain scans and make a 70% prediction on whether or not you made a decision to add or subtract two numbers. You know what this means? You're going to go in the store, and they're going to be able to target you. The hate crime legislation, they're going to be able to read your thoughts, or they're at least going to attempt to. They're going to try and get inside that little cranium of yours and make decisions, manipulations, and others. Folks, nothing is private.
Goodbye, privacy. But what does the Bible have to say about this? WDBSAT, that's our bracelet. We don't do the WWJD here. What would Jesus do? What the Bible says. What does the Bible say about that? That's what people with a biblical worldview say about, well, just about everything. So we brought up the issue of privacy. Now we're going to answer the question, what does the Bible say about that next on Generations? Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio Program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org. We're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson talking privacy issues here. My son, of course, his inoculation record available online for any old doctor to take a peek at. Goodbye privacy in the 2000s. And ladies and gentlemen, poor old Jack White. They know everything about Jack White. Went through the list in the last section. And Dave, they even know about his moral failures.
They do know about his moral failures, and if Jack ever gets out of hand, they'll be sure to bring him up if he wants to start spouting some of that Christian-y stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and there are drawbacks. There are drawbacks, friends, to having all this information accessible to everybody, virtually everybody out there. And, Dave, I think the most important drawback is that eventually governments could use this kind of information to do bad stuff. Now, a lot of people saying the governments would never, ever do anything quite like that.
Never.
I was standing behind somebody in the groping line, and the machine that was serving the people on my left-hand side was what I would call the Strip-You-Naked machine. And I mentioned that to my daughter. I said, well, that's the Strip-You-Naked machine. We're not in the line for the Strip-You-Naked machine. We're in the other line where you just do the magnetic thing. So I was explaining that to my daughter. We were traveling off somewhere. I think it was Kansas. And the lady in front of me turned to me with a little smug little 1984 look and said, it's really not all that bad. It's fine. You don't get any real radiation. And the government is good. They're looking out for all of us. You know, one of those 1984 types. I just kind of laughed a little bit. You know, my daughter and I got a good laugh out of it. But, you know, anyway, my point is that there are people out there.
She wasn't in the grope line?
No, she was actually in the same line as we were.
She was in the magnetic line.
She was in the magnetic line, not the grope line.
So she's kind of a
hypocrite. No, but she's been through it, and she says it's fine. It was fine.
But she didn't go back for seconds.
No, she didn't. She didn't. Okay. But she's appreciative of what the government's doing. People out there, yeah, I know, they trust the government to the umpteenth level. We know people like this. I mean, they show up in books like Orwell's 1984. They love it. They just love it. They would turn their own parents in, and they would appreciate it if their own parents turned them in. We're not talking about people who trust government to the umpteenth degree. We're talking about people who understand that people with a lot of power, and when you centralize power in high places, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, as Lord Acton would say. So that's our perspective. We believe in the depravity of man. It doesn't do well with a lot of power, you know. And so we're a little hesitant to hand all this power over to government, including the power to know everything about every aspect of our lives. Sounds a little bit like an omniscient God, doesn't it, Dave?
They're trying. They're trying to be omniscient.
The omniscient God wannabe. A lot of them out there right now. And I'd say it's a little dangerous. It's dangerous for Christians, Dave, because and I'd say the righteous, because eventually if the wicked get power, which they tend to be drawn to power, it's just that what wicked do. They tend to like power an awful lot. See, righteous people don't want to centralize power. We don't want big government. That's the definition of righteousness. We actually believe in God's law, and God's law limits the powers of men into certain sphere jurisdictions. Those would be righteous people. But wicked people love the centralized power, and they've been doing it for the last 100 years. So there's some of us who are more in the righteous category, who really don't want to centralize power and create all these tyrannies, who are a little iffy about these powerful people and wicked people gaining all this power. And, Dave, I mean, it is possible. I'm just saying it's possible. It's happened once or twice in the history of the world where wicked people have done really nasty things to good people. If an anti-Christian sentiment really kicks in, which is possible. It's happened before. If an anti-Christian sentiment really kicks in among the powers that are, they will know where just about every Christian lives, and they can round them up into concentration camps in just a week or two. It should be easy to do. So much easier than Hitler's Germany or the Roman catacombs. It was sort of hard for Nero to get a finger on every single Christian around because he didn't have the database. As I understand it, Nero did not have really extensive database collections on everybody who lived in the Roman Empire in AD 71.
Plus, it would have been written in Latin. You know how hard that is to read. Kevin, if they want to round up Christians, they'll probably have to first round up gun owners. Boy, how hard will that be with a registration and a hunting list? I bet you could find nearly every gun in about 72 hours.
Yeah.
Rounding up Christians after that will be easy. Now, a lot of people say you're just being paranoid.
No, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean there isn't somebody out to get you.
Right. I'd say that the founders and framers of our Constitution and of this nation were also paranoid. That's why they had things like the Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
You know, there's
paranoid,
that sticky little Fourth
Patrick
Amendment.
Henry,
right of people to feel secure.
Paranoid patriots.
To be secure in their homes, their papers, their effects. You know, when you go to the government and they give you that big old hug up and down and they tell you they love you and they feel around to make sure that you love them back and all that, that's just the government trying to make you feel secure. It's about being secure.
Well, folks, it's problematic that you have all this abridgment of privacy going on all over the place, and technology has enabled it, and people are okay with it to this point. Now, do you let a little tyranny kick in? You let these tyrants collect the information, then start up their concentration camps and do what the wicked and powerful people do best, and we could be in a lot of trouble. But here's the key. I don't think Christians have ever really wanted to hide. They don't have anything to hide. Now, they have separated from time to time, but everybody knows where the Amish live. Okay, when you get a Christian group that separate, everybody sort of knows that those are Christians over there, or at least they're the Amish, or they're the weirdos. that don't fornicate everywhere and don't, you know, get divorced constantly and don't drag their body parts out for everybody to look at. These people tend to be modest. These people tend to be faithful in their marriages, et cetera, et cetera. And people say, well, that's the community of the Amish. So if you separate, you're going to wind up probably being noted by the community around you. It's going to happen, friends. It's going to happen. You can't separate. You can't hide yourself. Now, occasionally, Dave, you're going to have a patriot or some kind of an anarchist who just gets paranoid and goes lives in the mountains all by himself. But as we know, Christians live in community. It's called a church. We forsake not the gathering of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And these are commands in Scripture. We participate in communities, and they're called churches. I know that's strange today. We live in systems of anonymity, and we live in big cities, and we don't really connect with anybody. We don't really have a community with anybody. But Christians do believe in community and have from the beginning. And these communities, I think, are going to be obvious to those around us. So there's no sense in us being paranoid. There's no sense in us hiding from others around us. We ought not to be too concerned or, I think, too scared or frightened about people finding out about us, as if we're Christians. And we ought not be afraid that they might come to persecute us. Hello, they've been persecuting Christians for a long time. Now, it's not to say we're going to sign up for it. And Jesus did say, if they persecute you in one city, flee to the next. So I think this, you know, if it gets a little hot and heavy in Colorado, say, in Texas, you still got a few freedoms left. Hey, we're out of Colorado. We're running down to Texas. We'll raise our families down there.
Hey, Kevin, one of the ironies is that people think that they have this lifestyle of anonymity in the city, and really everything about them is known, and they think they're not going to have relationships. Well, you know, in the church, maybe we already know your sins, and we love you anyway. And so when the government or Google or whomever comes out and says, you know, you had that moral failure, say, yeah, we already knew that.
Yeah,
isn't the grace of God
been
wonderful?
There. Been there, saw that, repented of that, moved on.
We're the humble ones. We're the repentant. We don't have anything to hide. The secret societies do. The Masons do. The Mormons do. The Mormons have their secret little ceremony stuff. And the Scientology people have their secret little thing. And there are people out there trying to overturn the government. Hey, we're not. We're not revolutionaries. We don't want to overturn the government. We're not interested in overturning the government. We believe that civil government's only a derivative of the people. And so you got to change the people, and that'll change the government. That's what we do. Our focus is to change the families and to strengthen fathers and families and build godly churches. And out of that will come governments that will be righteous and will stand for righteousness. We're not into revolution. Forget revolution. We're not interested in that at all. So you can accuse us of being too humble, too repentant, too kind to the orphans and widows. I mean, you'll discover those if you read our email. You'll discover all our emails about trying to take care of, in fact, we just emailed somebody about 2 minutes ago, but trying to take care of some orphans and send some clothes down to Mexico. So, yeah, you can read my email. Sure. You can find all Kevin Swanson's doing, taking care of orphans and widows. If you were too kind to the orphans and widows, okay. Guilty as charged. If we're a little too humble, if we repent of a sin here and a sin there, we've got to work through a conflict with a brother over here, we've got to restore relationships here and there, well, okay, you can read our email, discover these things about us. We don't have anything to hide. As Jesus answered those who were accusing him at his trial, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue, in the temple, where the Jews always resort, in secret. Have I said nothing? Why ask you me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them, behold, they know what I said. Jesus said, I don't have anything to hide. For as Paul says in Ephesians 5 and verse 8, you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So there's a sense, Dave, in which we're not super, super concerned about the abridgment of our privacy. Now, granted, that may lead to persecutions. We don't like that kind of stuff. But here's the real issue. Is the government required, or should the government be collecting this kind of information? And Dave, of course, this is an injustice. This is wrong. God doesn't appreciate it one bit. When David tried to do something as simple as just count the noses, they took a poll of Israel. It was the most severe thing that he did, practically, except, of course, his adultery. But this is just about as serious as that.
Where
David was out there counting God's people, and God says, hey, I don't want you doing this. I don't want some kind of a know-it-all government, and I don't want you conducting this poll.
That was a problem for God. He wanted there to be some level of anonymity within the country. He didn't want David to collect this kind of a know-it-all, omniscient form of government where David needed to know who was in his country and be in total control of every aspect of their lives. This is not the purpose of government. And when David tried to do this kind of stuff, David was in big trouble. So, folks, this is not the role of government to run around trying to be sovereign over every aspect of our lives by learning about what we're going to do or what we have done and then predict our behavior and then control every aspect of our behavior. David, if there was ever an example of man trying to be sovereign, trying to be what God really is, because God is in control of all things and God knows all things and God knows what we're going to do, but now we have governments trying to do exactly what the Bible says God does himself. So, Dave, here's a classic example of man replacing God. This is the ultimate power grab. This is the ultimate attempt of humanist man to displace God as sovereign, and we're seeing it right before our eyes in the year 2011. It's mind-boggling.
Kevin, it is mind-boggling, and this is kind of a big point here. It's unneighborly. It's unloving to spy on your neighbor. It's unloving to try and take his information, to find all the facts about him. You know, within a man's house, that's that castle, as we used to call it, that's sacrosanct. And what he does there and how he treats his family, that's really his jurisdiction. Now, he's going to answer to God for it. So in business, you don't spy on people to manipulate them. You don't try and coax them by some kind of bribe, informed bribe, out of their capital. Kevin, my wife was exploring whether or not we could save some money on car insurance. No, this is not a Geico ad. She called the insurance company, and one of the suggestions they had was there's a device that we could put in our car for a period of months that would read our driving habits. It would tell how long we stopped at our stop signs if it was a complete stop, how fast we went, where we went, if we were in busy traffic on country roads. It would collect this thing and create a profile and perhaps a discounted rate. Now, mind you, they already know how many accidents I've been in. None. They know how many tickets I've received. Well, they know at least how many I've been convicted of. You know, so what are they gathering? They're really trying to make a statistical gathering of something that isn't really an insurance risk. This is going to continue, but we as Christians ought to love one another and do so by respecting their home, their persons, their privacy, their property.
And Dave, I'm not saying I'm against all technology or all forms of technology. I'm against the centralization of technology and the collection of the data collected by technology on the part of very powerful governments. That's what I'm against. So don't get the idea I don't believe in technology. I think technology can be used for good and for ill. Let's just find ways to decentralize control, decentralize power bases, decentralize access to entertainment, music, et cetera, by means of technology. And we're seeing that happen. We have shown people many, many examples of how that happens and how we can decentralize control over many, many aspects of our lives using technology. Hey, a lot of guys can come home from big corporations and do work within their own homes thanks to technology. There are ways in which we use technology to the best of uses. And I think we can do so by decentralizing control, and I think that's the future once we begin to see these towers of Babel topple, and that's soon to come. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed this discussion as we've talked about privacy from a biblical worldview standpoint, and we try to address just about every single issue on this radio broadcast. You can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson telling you to join us again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.